So I wanted you to reiterate kind of what you said about Alito and your remarks being part of that with your district office located in downtown Alito.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that we're in Alito and to be part of this community. It's this is small town America. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it's supposed to feel like. And we're finally starting to see it starting to come back. And Alito is leading the way in it. We're gonna see families from Muscatine, Iowa, from the Quad Cities, from all over coming here to see what the city and the public-private partnerships can do together. It's pretty cool to be a part of.
What do you specifically, when you look at this Plaza project, anything specific you like about it? Now, you can see it from your office and you're in the vicinity of it, but anything specific that you really like about it, or what hits close to home for you?
Well, I grew up in small-town America. That's what I love about it, but you take a walk around town and it feels like an old 60s magazine pictures. That's what it feels like. And the pride that the community has in it is, I think, is the most special part.
Can I ask you a couple of state-related issues real quick?
Yeah.
So I was interviewing the state senator from Freeport. What's his last? Chesney. You know him, Andrew?
Andrew Chesney, yeah.
Okay, so I was at Ag Legislative Day, and he was talking about the Family Farm Preservation Act.
Yeah.
And he got a little kind of quasi-support from the governor, but the governor said, I think we're going to have to find money to cut if we support that. So, what do you think of the Family Farm Preservation Act? Is that something you're on board with?
Yeah, you know, helping our farmers is not only important for me representing a very rural farming district, but it's important for the state of Illinois being the number one job producer. It's the number one economic driver in the state. So yeah, we need to do whatever we can to make sure we're helping our ag communities and farmers. But yeah, nothing soup yet. We'll have to see what the final piece of legislation looks like, if we even see it at all.
Now, I know there's been bipartisan support on that legislation. Now, like I said, there hasn't been, I think, a solid position from the governor on it, really. But do you think there could be some movement or not? I mean, is it up to the governor to determine if that gets to the finish line?
Well, it's not up to the governor. It's going to be up to the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House. But it's going to depend, and it's going to be hard this year because we started this year with $1.5 billion shortfall, right? So we're trying to Democrats are trying to fill that without raising taxes. I mean, I got a lot of suggestions, but unfortunately, they don't listen to us. So yeah, I can figure a lot of ways to spend money better than we do, and we definitely should be prioritizing it. And farmers are pretty important.
I know I talked to you about a couple. I don't know, maybe last fall you were seeking input on landowners as it relates to nuisance.
Yeah.
Basically deer nuisance.
Yeah.
What do you hear about that, or what is there some movement on getting some type of deer nuisance legislation passed, and what would that look like?
Yeah, so I think we will get something passed this year. I have three pieces of legislation, both attack the issue from a different angle. Have some colleagues that have legislation, so we've been working with the colleagues on the other side of the aisle to see what we can do to move it. And I think I think our colleagues on the other side are finally starting to realize it is a problem, which I understand for them. Most of them are from, you know, city of Chicago and the suburbs, and they don't have to deal with it. So they've been open to trying to understand the issue. So I'm hopeful we'll be able to get something done on that front.
Now, specifically, it would look like what, or what would be included in the legislation?
I don't know yet. Like I said, I have three pieces of legislation that tackle it from a different angle. One of them is to give landowners more permits and be able to take them in a wider swath. Another one would say that it would make it easier to prove crop damage and get reimbursement. Another one says that if the state is unwilling to do anything, then the state, since deer are property of the state, then the state would have to reimburse the farmer for damage because of the deer.
I was going to ask you one other thing. So there's been a lot of attention on this letter that the Senate Republican Caucus sent to the IHSA, and I saw, I think, Congresswoman Mary Miller, who represents Aledo, sent a letter to AG Bondi about looking at an investigation. So I've seen, you know, read both sides or whatever. But I'm curious, has any, like, IHSA member school reached out to you to say, I'm interested in maybe offering a bylaw amendment? A member school from the IHSA saying, hey, I don't want males participating in girl sports. I mean, have you had any conversation with, like, any administrators from any member schools that have reached out to you to say, hey, I want to see if we can do it from that standpoint?
Yeah, unfortunately, no, we haven't. And I would welcome any of them that are listening to reach out to my office. I would love to be part of that. But yeah, the IHSA overall, they took the stance of telling the federal government that they're wrong and that biological males should be able to play in female sports, which is completely wrong. And as a father of a student athlete daughter that works her butt off to be successful, I'll be damned if I let it happen.